Okay, so it is that time. It is Tuesday. It is 2:30. So it is time that I bring on Connor Boyack for the Boyack Review. Connor, are you there?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing super duper. Now, I know that in preparation for today's show, you had sent me a few media clips. So you just cue me up whenever you're ready, and I'll play whatever you like.
Well, and I think you've actually queued me up. I think that interview with Judge Napolitano, whose show I so dearly miss.
I'm so
sad that they've canned it.
I know that you know people. I know that. Can you do me a favor? Can you tell them to get rid of the Rand Paul rah-rah crap and go and get behind Judge Napolitano? I would love Campaign for Liberty if they got behind Napolitano and somehow made him a candidate. I mean, I love Ron Paul. I'm not feeling Rand Paul and some of his antics recently. I know he's done good votes, but...
Yeah, Judge Napolitano as a candidate would be a fantastic. He's got several books. I hope your listeners, if they haven't already, will go read his books. Constitutional Chaos, A Nation of Sheep. The guy is a brilliant mind. He's a fierce advocate of liberty, wonderful constitutionalist.
Well, and he stands up for it. He stands up for liberty so, like vociferously, and yet he's so affable. Everybody loves him. That's what we need.
Well, and that perhaps drills into the point I want to make. Now, he has some very controversial opinions, right? He's very direct. He's very anti-state. He's very pro-liberty. And many people would look, you know, he self-describes as a libertarian. He calls himself a libertarian. And many people would see the positions that he takes, the resistance that he gives the government on so many issues, and claim that he is somehow a quote-unquote extreme libertarian, that the position he takes are so unreasonable and so far off from where, you know, a majority of Americans agree they need to be, that he is not only just a kind of a wishy-washy moderate libertarian, but he is in fact an extreme libertarian. Now, is it really then extreme to oppose the things, for example, in that clip that he was, namely the president having a secret list whereby he alone can make the decision to order the death of an American citizen without any trial or due process whatsoever, or foreigners as well. But we know that that has happened with a U.S. citizen and that there are other U.S. citizens on that list. That, I think, in a nutshell, perfectly describes the segue that I want to make with one Orrin Hatch, who is, you know, our longtime 36-year senator from Utah running for his 7th term.
Wow.
A friend of mine was at a convention some months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, and had a recorded interview with him and asked him a question about his take on my influence or participation within the party. And so if you can, let's play that first clip, and this will tie together what the judge was saying to what Orrin Hatch thinks about.
And this is the one from your website then?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Connor Boyack, do you think he's adding value? Do you like the direction that he's pushing things in Utah?
I just don't know him. I don't know him, but I hear
you know his message.
I hear it. No, I really don't know that either. I hear he's pretty hateful towards me, but that's his right.
He's libertarian, so he's causing a stir.
Yeah, there are libertarians, and then there are extreme libertarians, and I don't know what he is. All I can say is I just don't know him. If I meet him, maybe I'd feel better, but he's never met me, to my knowledge.
Thank you, Senator.
So he doesn't know you, but then he knows you.
Political. Let's sidestep the total distraction that I hate him. I don't hate him. He was, in fact, correct. I've never met him, nor do I have any plans to change that. But my opposition to him that has been fairly public through social media and other avenues as well, traditional media included, has been on the fact that he violates the Constitution time and time and time again, a document that he has on several occasions sworn an oath to uphold.
Yeah, he's sworn fealty to the Constitution.
And so my opposition to him has nothing to do with the man himself. From all accounts, he's a gentleman, although I know of other accounts that claim quite the opposite. But many people will attest to the fact that he's very likable, very kind-hearted. I really don't care one way or the other. My concern with a senator is not if he's a likable guy. It's like you've said about Jason Chaffetz on many accounts. Senator Hatch, my opposition to him is not about hatred. It is about devotion. Devotion not to him or any of his candidates, but to the Constitution. And therefore, when I criticize Senator Hatch, it's not being critical of the man himself. It's being critical of him in the office in which he has sought numerous times, and now again for the 7th time, to have that power to be able to vote up or down certain bills that may or may not be reconcilable with the Constitution. So let's at least
That's a rhetorical ploy that he's using when he says hateful, because it's not personal. You just don't like the way he is acting and behaving, and the way he's using the office. And that's complete. I mean, he's a public figure. He should be open to that criticism, and it's not hateful. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but you don't know him personally. It's about the fact that he's pretty much done everything against the Constitution, right?
And exactly, it's about his record. That is what I am concerned with. And so there are.
Let me ask you this, Connor.
Sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned records. Why is it so hard for people to get past the facade, the likability, the affability? All of these, and I hate to make the analogy to psychopaths, but like, look at Ted Bundy. You know, they're affable. They like you. They make you feel like you're on top of the world. And then, but if you look at their record, they're just monsters. Why can't people look at people's records? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a hard question, probably worthy of its own full segment or
show.
All
right, I won't sidetrack you.
Well, and I think a lot of it is just really identity politics, really quick. I mean, that's why we've got a Mitt Romney who's Mormon, and if he wasn't Mormon, you know, many of the Mormons who support him would be looking elsewhere. But we resonate so often with identities, especially people who only have a superficial attention span for current events and politics and things of the like. But I at least wanted to call out, but then sidestep that whole hatred thing. It's ridiculous. And get to his assertion. What's that?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I accidentally hit a button.
Sorry. I wanted to get more to his assertion or his claim that, you know, there are libertarians and then there are extreme libertarians, by which I can only assume that he means that there are libertarians that he kind of gets along with or who he can agree with and who would support him or agree with him on his votes, those libertarians who are understanding of the votes that he makes and the position that he's in and the importance of the things that he's pushing. But then there are those extreme libertarians, right, like myself, like those who are openly, vocally, strongly critical of his record. What's interesting is that really has nothing to do with libertarianism, right? Libertarianism is mostly a state or local issue. I mean, certainly there's national issues, but at the national level, most libertarians quite often argue on constitutional lines just because that's a very easy focal point for these issues. And in as much as a senator is violating the Constitution, then 99 times out of 10, they're violating some libertarian principle as well. As I argue in my book, Latter-day Liberty, the Constitution is a libertarian document.
Yes.
And so he calls us extreme libertarians. One of the groups that's also been given this charge, there was a lot of media about it, so most of your listeners will probably have heard this next clip, that if you'll have that ready, that I'm not the only one.
Now hold on, Connor, because we're bumping up on our commercial break. Maybe we should play this on the other side.
Let's save it. Okay.
Because actually, I want to ask a quick question that will take us up to the commercial, and we might have to spill over and bring it back on the break. But, you know, you talk about he's castigating these extreme libertarians or whatever. And you said that maybe there's libertarians. I mean, are there any libertarians out there that are self-identified as libertarian that actually like Orrin Hatch? I have yet. I consider myself well with my thumb on the pulse of, you know, libertarian thinking in this state. And I don't know anybody.
There's an interesting conundrum. The present CEO of Overstock, good guys by all intents and purposes, who endorse Ron Paul, they're very libertarian leaning. I don't think that they would perhaps say that they were outright libertarian, but they're quite libertarian leaning.
Yeah, they support Ron Paul, sure.
Support Ron Paul, and they came out with a letter prior to the caucuses in support of Orrin Hatch.
Wow.
And with an attempt in that letter to describe why it's not cognitive dissonance, why, you know. I know the president, Jonathan Johnson. He actually endorsed my book, Latter-day Liberty. He's a good guy. I've met with him several times. I mean no ill speaking of him, but I think that there are certain cases where someone who is a self-identified libertarian, or at least libertarian leaning, or flirting at least with libertarianism, to find other reasons, perhaps more pragmatic, perhaps more business oriented, whatever.
I mean, he does wield a powerful pen, shall we say.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah, and I certainly think those Overstock guys are on the right side, as, you know, other entrepreneurs like the guy from PayPal and whatnot. All right, guys, come on back. We're in the middle of the Boyack Review right here at Mental Self-Defense Radio, AM 630 K-Talk, the voice of Utah.
The voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
All right. right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self-Defense Radio. I am Jake Shannon. We are in the middle of the Boyack Review. Got Connor Boyack on the line. Connor, are you with us?
I am.
Okay, great. So I've got this clip queued up. How did you want to introduce it?
So just for those who have joined us since the last break, there was a clip where Senator Hatch was asked about me, and he makes the comment that, well, there are libertarians, then there are extreme libertarians. This kind of language that he so often uses to kind of sideline and make considered fringe those who strongly disagree with his record. I clearly am not the only target by any means. This next clip was from an NPR interview that made the rounds a few weeks ago where Senator Hatch is making the same claim about another group. So go ahead.
Okay, let me get this queued up.
Kit was on Rush Limbaugh everywhere.
This Republican on Republican political violence persists. The same people who successfully tossed Bennett from the Senate targeted Orrin Hatch, including FreedomWorks, a Republican super PAC, which flooded Utah airwaves with ads.
Utahns thought we sent a conservative to Washington, but Orrin Hatch has risked your children's future by voting to raise our nation's debt limit 16 times. Orrin Hatch gave away your family's money for bailouts to Wall Street bankers.
FreedomWorks has spent close to $700,000 attacking Hatch. Russ Walker is the group's political director.
He's been there a long time, and with that length in service comes a lengthy record of expanding the size and scope of government. And it's really for us about his record and nothing more.
The attacks leave Hatch defensive and angry.
Give me a break. These people are not conservatives. They're not Republicans. They're radical libertarians. And I'm doggone offended by it. I despise these people, and I'm not the type of guy you come in and dump on without getting punched in the mouth.
This is a former boxer talking.
That's good, Jake.
Wow.
So really, I mean, how amazing is that, right? This made the rounds in national media, quite controversial, even if he's speaking figuratively, to say that he's going to punch those in the mouth who are opposing to his record. This really puts to bed the claim that he's at all gentlemanly, right, let alone having any type of behavior that's worthy of a six-term sitting senator and respecting those who may happen to disagree with his platform. And that's really what's happening. He's claiming that those, whether myself or FreedomWorks, for example, which is largely a conservative organization. They do have many libertarians in their employ, but they're pretty much conservative. To claim that we, in opposing Senator Hatch on constitutional grounds, are radical or extreme libertarians is quite silly. Is it extreme to oppose funding unjust and immoral wars? Is it extreme to oppose, as happened just in this past week, arming FDA agents to, without warrants, be able to go and invade farms and homes and confiscate things, which Senator Hatch supported? Is it extreme to not want to use taxpayer funds, which are taken at the force of a gun, to bail out banks and other institutions? I mean, what is extreme here? I contend, we contend, most of us who would be labeled by Senator Hatch and those like him as radical or extreme libertarians, we contend that it is the reverse that is extreme, that wanting individual liberty and private property and free enterprise, these things are not extreme at all. One only has to speculate on what side of the issue Orrin Hatch and those like him might have been during the founding era, right? Think of in the Virginia Convention, Patrick Henry, March 23rd, 1775, in closing his very famous speech, saying, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." That is extreme, right? But is it a good extreme or is it a bad extreme? Is it the chains and slavery that he was referring to that, in fact, is extreme, that those like Senator Hatch are supporting?
Like chocolate ice cream. It's extremely delicious. I would like more of it, please. You're right. And it's funny because that actual word, extreme, as you were talking about it and going into it, that's that word, which, again, Hatch wields like a weapon somehow, that's most people who are libertarian left the Republicans because that same smear of extremism was labeled at Barry Goldwater.
In fact, said, as you'll remember, he said this, "I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice."
Right.
He sought to put to bed the exact thing that we're talking about.
Right, and they were able to manipulate it, and they got Nixon. And then everybody left the Republican Party that was that young, Young Americans for Liberty or whatever, those groups left because it was like, all of a sudden the Republican Party at that point, you could no longer be a hardcore advocate for liberty and be a Republican. You had to be for the war on drugs. You had to be for a draft and all these things that seem to be embodied by Mitt Romney now.
Well, and that's what's quite hypocritical here, right? Senator Hatch and those like him, clearly, I mean, there are others. It's not just Senator Hatch, but he's provided us with these wonderful sound bites that we can use, so he gets picked on. But it's those like him and him who use this language, who try to deflect criticism of their record by claiming that those who engage in such criticism are radical or extreme. You know, we need to remember, of course, that during the founding era, it wasn't that everyone supported the revolution, right? There were the core few who had infused the government, who had taken it over, who were using that power to increase liberty and oppose the crown. There were many loyalists in America who wanted to see the crown succeed and oppose what their fellow countrymen were doing. And then the majority of them, according to many reports, were just apathetic and indifferent. They didn't care. They had their food. They had their employee. They, you know, whatever. Life was good. They weren't going to care about what was going on in the government. It was because of those quote-unquote radical few that we have had the freest country. Of course, it's not free anymore to the degree it once was, nor was it perfect at any time. But the infusion of a system of government with the principles of individual liberty. One can only imagine if Senator Hatch were transported back to 1776, what he would have thought of the Declaration of Independence, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. You know, the government derives their just powers from the consent of the governed. And
well,
even more radically,
I would like to see him go back in time. One, just get rid of him. But two, I'd like to see him try to punch George Washington in the face.
In the face.
Good luck with that, because not only was George Washington a military guy, but, you know, from my wrestling historian hat, that guy was one hell of a wrestler. He would have tied
a fighter,
Hatch.
Yeah.
I and you know what? I could say this. I'm sure you're in the same boat. I would willingly go to his office and allow him to wind up all 70-odd years old of him and punch me right in the mouth. I would love it. Please. I would be thrilled. I would do it. Honestly, right now, if somebody could set that up, I would drive right there right now. And
I actually beat you to the punch prior to the Republican convention. I posted on Facebook an open invitation.
Oh, awesome.
Provided that they would allow it to be posted on YouTube. That was my only
now, wait, hold
caveat.
On. That's awesome. Let me play that clip again of him asking for it, and then, oh, man, yeah, you need to put that into a blog post. That's awesome.
lengthy record of expanding the size and scope of government. And it's really, for us, about his record and nothing more.
The attacks leave Hatch defensive and angry.
Give me a break. These people are not conservatives. They're not Republicans. They're radical libertarians, and I'm doggone offended by it. I despise these people, and I'm not the type of guy you come in and dump on without getting punched in the mouth.
This is you know what he sounds like to me now as I listen to this, and I'm just laughing.
Juvenile?
He sounds like the grumpy old man at the end of the block. You know, like the kids are just playing, riding their bikes.
You
and
whippersnapper.
He's like, yeah, and he's like squirting them with the hose. Get off my property and all this kind of stuff. I mean, he
and
just
yet he's a sitting senator with substantial authority over our lives, businesses, and freedom.
Well, I believe because of his position on the intelligence committees, that's probably why we have that that giant super snooping
NSA
agency here in this state. And that concerns me, not obviously for our privacy, but that makes us a target, man. At least I moved away from Colorado, and I was like, you know what? NORAD's in Colorado. They're going to bomb NORAD. I'm in Utah. Well, now I don't feel so safe anymore.
Well,
I think
you know,
it makes us a target as well.
And so to I opposed the creation of that NSA facility. I had an op-ed in the paper and how Governor Herbert was claiming, oh, this is so great, all these jobs that it's bringing in. And at what expense are we throwing away our individual liberty for jobs when really all it is some temporary construction jobs and then a very few NSA employees that they're importing from somewhere else?
Yeah, like those jobs that you see listed for, like, detention specialist for FEMA and stuff like
that. Right.
Yeah, I'd rather not create those jobs. We could do without
that.
Yeah, those.
Right. And so at what expense are we so willing to discard and not even pay attention to, let alone discard, our individual liberty? If you're going to call that radical and extreme, then you got to turn the table and wonder what it is these people are promoting. Even though it's popular at times, even though they wrap it and all this propaganda and all this emotional feel-goodery, right, at the core of it, it is discarding or violating our individual liberty. It is those radicals like the Founding Fathers who wanted to increase individual liberty, secure and protect the property, life, and liberty of each individual, right? They are the radicals that we now revere, that even people like Orrin Hatch will claim that we're inspired of God and wonderful men who created our wonderful system of government, and yet are openly disdaining the very people who kind of have a similar mantle today. I'm not saying that for myself, but just libertarians generally have the same kind of classical liberal mindset, the desire to be free from unjust status coercions, the desire to just be independent and able and responsible to take care of ourselves. If that's radical, if that's extreme, we're in a significant problem if people like Orrin Hatch are turning the tables against the very thing that allowed him to become a senator in the first place.
Now, were you able to get him a copy of your book?
You know,
because I would find it would be disingenuous for him to read the book and then still make these kind of proclamations after maybe, you know, reading some of the connections you made with regards to scripture and liberty and things of that nature.
I haven't actually tried to get it to him. I've got to many other Republican and LDS notables. But, yeah, maybe I should send one to him as well. What's funny is he used LDS scripture to justify the very opposite of what it intends. He uses a scripture, for example, I have this on dethronehatch.com. He uses a scripture talking about the importance of taking care of the poor to justify things like Medicare. Right, and how anyone makes the leap of faith where you're using advocating persuasion, encouraging people to take care of the poor, to turn that into a government system that forcibly taxes people to take care of the poor, right? I call that radical and extreme. I call completely turning something that's voluntary, persuasive, and good and moral to something that is forced upon people. I call that extreme.
Yeah, it's rather unfortunate. What bothers me about this, and I certainly want to see him go, I just don't see Lillenquist as any real... I can't see him worse than Orrin Hatch, although I didn't think Obama could be worse than George Bush, so, you know, I've been wrong in this regard. But, you know, I just don't see Lillenquist as being some huge, you know, fix or some sort of change. I don't know. I mean, am I wrong in that? I don't follow the GOP politics as much.
Yeah, I don't know Dan well enough. I've met with him a few times. I know his general platform. The thing that a lot of people like me now grapple with is not seeing in Dan someone who is a rigidly, you know, we'll go ahead and call him an extreme libertarian, right? Someone who does not comport to those foundational principles without deviation. Some people are saying, and I kind of sympathize with it, that maybe it's better in the end to have Hatch in for another 6 years to give us time to find someone better to put in, as opposed to someone like Dan, who is good on some things, or not good on other things, and yet who would probably then be there for many more terms to come. I haven't taken a position on that. I kind of, like I said, sympathize with it. I understand the concern. Dan is better in a lot of ways than Orrin Hatch is. I think Orrin Hatch has completely apostatized from any constitutional fidelity whatsoever. But it is worrisome that we're not finding and fielding enough pro-liberty candidates who, even at the state and local level, right, who are willing to push back and be bluntly outspoken and be labeled extreme by people. If that's what it takes to stand up for our liberties, then, you know, jump on the grenade, take one for the team, and get called by a sitting senator an extreme libertarian. Hey, it's great. Join the crowd. A lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right, yeah. So, Connor, in wrapping up today, you know, what do you think is probably the best path? Anybody who's listening and does take your advice and looks to you, you know, I know that you've obviously through your books and your blog and whatnot. I mean, what do we do about Orrin Hatch? Is it get behind Lillenquist? Or, I mean, is it just, I mean, because there's not a none of the above. That's only in the LP, which turned out to be quite a disaster recently anyway. But, you know, what can people do?
Yeah, I published a post over the weekend that says, you know, why I've largely given up on the federal government. And I, too, I haven't been paying a ton of attention to the federal races as much as I have on state issues because, you know, even when we get someone good in office, let's say Dan was stellar and let's say he was elected, he would be one of very few people who are liberty-minded at the federal level. And for all the time and effort and energy that's put in to getting good things done at the federal level, you have 40,000 bad things happening. I believe we can be so much more effective with our time and our resources, limited though they may be, focusing on the state level, getting a majority of liberty-minded candidates here, and then pushing back against the federal government.
I hear it. Awesome stuff. Guys, you can check out Connor online. You can get his books. And we'll talk to you next week. Connor, thanks, man.
Thanks, Jake.
All right, bye-bye.